Now, in person, not transcribed, not recorded, a distinguished cast from the theaters on Broadway in Grand Central Station. Brought to you from New York by Pillsbury Snow Sheen Cake Flour and Pillsbury Hot Roll Mix. As a bullet seeks its target, shining rails in every part of our great country are aimed at Grand Central Station, part of the nation's greatest city. Drawn by the magnetic force of the fantastic metropolis, day and night, great trains rush for the Hudson River, Louisiana's eastern bank for 140 miles, flash briefly with long little tenement houses south of 125th Street, dive with a roar to the 2.5 mile tunnel which furrows the glittering swank of Park Avenue, and then Grand Central Station, crossroads of a million private lives, gigantic stage in which are played 1,000 dramas daily. Now, the revealing drama of a boy whose one ambition in life was literally to fill his father's shoes. Until one day, he discovered that his idol had had feet of clay. The slender, black-haired young fellow came out of Grand Central Station in a great hurry, and now, with rapid steps, walks west toward Broadway. But, little by little, his pace becomes slower and slower. A choking nervousness fills his throat. This is the big day. In less than 10 minutes, he will be auditioning for a famous theatrical agent. Now he sits in the great man's office, changing from his tan Oxfords into a pair of old patent leather dancing shoes. His hands tremble as he ties the laces. Almost lovingly, he pats the shoes.
Bad shoes. The shoes he'd worn in the Follies and in all those other great shows. How could I possibly fill them? I wanted to turn and run before I fell flat on my face. But suddenly I wasn't afraid anymore. It was the magic I always felt in Dad's shoes, as if they knew the steps all by themselves. Sure, all I had to do was stand up, close my eyes, and they'd lead me through the routine from beginning to end.
You say your name was?
Tom. Tom Harrison.
Why don't you tell the truth? Your name's Morgan. You must be Lee Morgan's boy.
No, I... Yes. Yes, I am.
I handled your father for 12 years. I know that routine like my own name. What's the big idea?
Well, look, I didn't mean to fool anybody, Mr. Marson. I just figured if I auditioned for you and I was good, well, you'd say so and...
Yes?
And if I was bad... Then I'd rather you didn't know my name. My dad.
Leroy Morgan. He was tops. Only act I ever knew that could follow Will Rogers.
Yeah, that's what everyone says. I was only a kid when he died, but he taught me some of the steps. And I've practiced and practiced. If I could only be half as good as he was, I...
What makes you think you couldn't be better?
Oh, you're kidding, Mr. Marson. My dad, he was the top.
Yeah, he was a great dancer.
Then you'll handle me?
I don't know. I think I'd better have a talk with your mother first. Find out how she feels about it. Oh, hello, Gabe. Come in.
Oh, Max, I'm so grateful that you phoned me about Leroy.
Well, I'm glad to have an excuse for asking you to drop in here in my office.
You know, all these years, I've thought and wondered what I'd do if this happened, and now I just don't know what to say.
Kate, let's face it. This is an unusual situation.
Yes.
It's not just that your boy imitates his father. He worships his memory. What happens when he finds out that his father was a heel?
I don't know.
He's bound to if he goes into show business. Leroy Morgan. Great song and dance man. But never so nimble as when he was picking up the dice. Never in such good voice as when he sang sweetly to all those other dames he was always falling in and out of love with.
Max, please.
Kate, this boy of yours is riding for an awful fall. Why didn't you tell him long ago?
Well, how could I? He was such a little thing when it happened. Did you ever hold a child on your knee and try to tell him
that
his...
They look so helpless. But they got big eyes that go through you like a bazooka.
I prayed that he'd never have to know. I kept hoping he wouldn't be good enough to make Broadway.
Not good enough? Why, in 2 years, the kid can be better than the old man ever was. But the way he's headed now, he'll never be any more than a carbon copy.
A carbon copy?
Yes, a copycat, an imitator. There's a million guys who can drop to one knee and sing Mammy, but there was only one Jolson. He was the... Yes, Miss Nelson, what is it?
Arthur Godfrey's on the phone, Mr. Morrison. You wanted to talk to him about young Morgan.
Arthur Godfrey, my next...
Yeah. Tell him to hold on a second, Miss Nelson. That's this way, Heath. I figured a good way to get the kid started is to spot him on the talent scouts.
But, Max, you said
maybe if he gets on the stage and hears the applause, he'll get a feeling of being somebody himself. Build up his own ego. So there'll be something to cushion the shock the day somebody smashes his idol.
Oh, I hope so, Max. I hope you're right.
Put Godfrey on. Oh, hello, Arthur. Sorry I kept you waiting. Here, listen. I've got a sensational act for you. Leroy Morgan. No. This is his son. Is he good? Why, he does the old man's turn to a T. Sure, Arthur, I guarantee you that this boy, as far as tap dancing is concerned, is just like his father.
This is Galen Drake. Well, you know, being just as good isn't enough. Most of us want to be better. And that's how the Pillsbury folks felt when they turned out Pillsbury Snowsheen Cake Flour. They wanted to turn out the best flour possible for making cakes. And they did. Snowsheen is made only from carefully selected wheats that are milled more than twice as fine as ordinary flour. Now, naturally, that's going to make a higher, lighter, fluffier cake. Then, with Ann Pillsbury's quick mix method, you use only one bowl. You don't have to cream shortening and sugar. You don't have to beat eggs separately either. And you'll find all the directions for this quick mix method, as well as three swell quick mix recipes, on every blue and white package of Pillsbury Snowsheen Cake Flour. So, if you want to make the best cake that you ever tasted, and make it with Snowsheen. Now, let's get back into our story and see how Leroy's career is coming along.
I called a doctor really through the switch. The kid slammed the needle of the talent scout's applause meter way over to the end of the dial. From there, he started rocketing right to the top. All weeks at the Oriental Theater in Chicago. And for the last two, he doubled into the Palmer House. Then I played a hunch. I shot him right after Ciro's in Hollywood. And when that sophisticated movie audience went nuts, I knew he was right. I put a full-page ad in Variety, packed with quotes from the West Coast critics, and that opened up the spot in the new review, Twinkle Zone. All that love pouring across the footlights. It seemed to be covering young Leroy with a kind of golden protective armor. And for the first time, I relaxed.
Max, did you see what Winchell says about me?
Oh, relax, kid, like I am. They're all saying.
Oh, but look, Winchell says I remind him of my dad in the good old days.
So what? Don't you ever get tired of imitating your old man? Don't you ever want to throw away those old, broken-down tap shoes?
Oh, but Max, they're what made me a success. Took me right from talent scouts
Sure, but you're a star now. Isn't it about time you tried out some of your own routines?
Oh, I know you, Max. You're kidding. Sure, sometimes I start to get a little cocky myself. Then I remember that it's only because I'm lucky enough to be in Dad's shoes that all those nice people are remembering Dad, and that's why they're so kind to me.
Leroy, listen. Forget your dad.
You didn't like him, did you, Max?
Huh?
I think I know why. I've been meaning to talk to you about it. You've been seeing a lot of Kate.
Oh, why not? Your mother and I were friends long before you were born.
Sure, and I hope it stays that way. I mean, I know how she felt about Dad and how they nearly split up toward the end, but... Well, Mother is still true to his memory. You know that.
Sure, I know.
Thanks, Max. You've been swell about everything. Well, guess I'll go out and grab a bite before curtain time.
I've been around quite a while, and nobody's ever accused me of being soft. But all of a sudden, there were tears in my eyes. I wanted to yell the truth after him, but I was soft on his mother, and it was important that he should keep on liking me. But that wasn't the only reason I felt bad. It was because now I saw how wrong I had been. Sure, the kid had built up a kind of armor against the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune if they came from the outside. But a fat lot of good that was going to do against something that was inside of him.
Excuse me.
All right. No harm done.
No, it's my fault. Leroy.
Hello?
You're not Leroy Morgan? He can't be.
Oh, he's dead. You must mean my father. I'm Leroy Morgan, Jr.
Oh, I didn't think I'd have that money. For a minute, though, I thought I was seeing a ghost. I feel kind of rocky.
Oh, gee. Sit down, won't you?
Oh, thanks. I just can hardly believe my eyes. You look like him. You talk like him. Baby, you give me the shivers.
Oh, I guess you knew my dad.
Knew him? We was in the Follies together. Well, that's where I got my name, Vera Laverne. Vicky gave it to me.
Oh, those must have been the days, the Follies, the vanities, the scandals.
Yeah, them were the days everybody had fun. These days, what's the last?
I wish I could have seen one of those Ziegfeld productions. You know, I do some of Dad's routines.
You do? Hey, I bet I can help you.
Help me how?
Well, I got a big scrapbook full of pictures from the Follies. You can see the costumes your father wore, and I can show you some of the steps. I know them. You come on home with me
Look, it's this way. I got a show tonight,
so I... got plenty of time. Well, grab a cab. I'll tell you all about them. Nobody knew your father better than me. Nobody.
Gosh, you sure have a lot of pictures of Dad. Why, this book is practically full of them.
Why not? I love Leroy.
You loved him?
Everybody did.
Oh, I see.
He was always so happy. The life of the party. But you want to know something?
What?
I was the only one that could pick him up when he felt low. The only one. Kitten, he'd say. That's what he called me, kitten. A kitten, you make me feel young again. Whenever he was down in the dumps, he always headed straight here, right to my apartment.
Here? Dad came here?
Sure, let me show you something.
But I don't
know. Come on. Look.
They're suits. Men's suits and shoes.
Just the way he left them. So the day he passed on, I've never moved them, except to clean them.
Those are Dad's things?
Oh, Leroy, your kitten hasn't forgotten you. Never forgot.
Wait a minute, what do you mean?
But nothing left for poor little Vera. Just memories, ghosts. I live with ghosts.
Stop it, Vera. Cut it out.
You look like him. You talk like him. One kiss, drive away the ghost.
No, take your hands off me.
One little kiss, that's not so
get away from me. You're rotten. This whole thing is rotten.
Leroy.
I gotta get out. I gotta get out of here.
Leroy.
Kind of tough to see something you built yourself up on fall apart, isn't it? And that's why some women never try to bake homemade hot rolls. They're scared of a disappointment. Well, with Pillsbury hot roll mix, it's just 3 minutes from the package to the dough. You don't measure a lot of stuff. You don't sift flour. You don't melt shortening. Just dissolve that package of new dry yeast in warm water, add it to the mix, and stir it up. That's it. And you'll have perfect hot rolls every time. When they come out of that oven, they'll be all tender and fluffy, snowy white inside with a rich golden brown color outside. When you break one of those open and get a smell of it, if that doesn't whet up your hunger, there's something wrong with you. Everything's in the package except the water. And you can make the finest hot rolls that you ever tasted with Pillsbury Hot Roll Mix. You or anybody else. Now, let's get back and see what this sudden revelation's going to do to Leroy.
Come in.
Well, I'm glad to find you in your dressing room. The stage manager for me. You haven't shown up.
Aha! I fooled him, Max, old boy. Have a little drink.
Why, I didn't know you went for that stuff.
I never did before. But it's good.
Leroy, for goodness sake, give me that bottle and pull yourself together. You go on in 10 minutes.
Can you keep a little secret?
Sure, but...
I'm not going on.
But the whole show is built around you.
Won't it be funny, Max? Imagine, big overture, curtain goes up, stage is absolutely empty. The audience waits. And then the stage manager announces that they just haven't seen Leroy Morgan Jr. in the Dance of the Invisible Leprechauns.
What's got into you?
You know, that's the trouble with you. You got no sense of humor. I bet you my old man would have laughed like anything. Vera Laverne says he was always the life of the party.
Vera Laverne?
Now, quit talking out of the side of your mouth, Max. You know all about my old man.
Maybe.
You know, I don't have to worry no more about my magic shoes wearing out. I just found out where he stashed a whole bunch of them. I need another drink. Give me the bottle.
Now, wait, Leroy. I'd like to tell you a few things about your father.
Oh, sure, sure. Tell me all about him. It helps to find out. I mean, you know what they say, like father, like son.
That's where you're wrong, boy. You're not like your father.
Huh? Who are you trying to kid? Just like him. Spit an image.
Yeah? How tall was your father?
Oh, about my height, a little bigger, maybe 6 feet.
Leroy Morgan was exactly 5'6" and a half.
Oh, you're crazy. He was a big fellow.
Last time you saw him, you were just a little shaver. He must have looked like a giant to you. All fathers look like giants to their children. If he had lived and you had grown up alongside him, you'd have seen him in his proper perspective.
That's funny. That's funny. I always thought he was a big, tall fellow like me.
No, he was short. He was short of being adult, too. That's what was wrong with him. He was the perennial juvenile.
Juvenile?
When he got too old for certain parts, he refused to believe it. Surrounded himself with a chorus of women who all chimed to tell him how young and wonderful he was.
Oh, so that's how Vera Laverne
got... As we get older, growth is the thing that matters. We become more mature. We learn more. We're wiser. Well, we should be. And that's exactly where your mother and I have been wrong.
Well, what are you talking about?
She and I and everybody. We all tried to protect you. Nobody's given you any credit or any strength of your own. And I think you've got it. You can be like your father, or you can keep on growing. Now, that's a call, Leroy. You better head to the wing.
You're crazy, Max. I can't even feel my feet.
You know what they'll say if you don't go on. In 2 minutes, your career will be over. You'll be blacklisted from coast to coast. The newspapers will have a field day. They'll dig up all the old stories about your father.
No!
Oh, well, what do you care? You can't have any feeling for him now.
No, Max. No, I can't let that happen. Max, you got to help me.
Oh, I can't go out there and dance for you. You're on your own. Go on out there and do your stuff.
All right, Max. All right, give me a hand.
Yes, but...
Help me out to the stage. I'll feel better knowing that you're in the wings.
Take it again, chum.
hear that, boy?
Gosh, I felt so funny out there. And it wasn't the whiskey.
Well, what was it?
I don't know, but I've always been tight as a drum for that first number, you know? Scared I'd make a wrong step. Scared I couldn't fill my father's shoes. And tonight, for the first time, I felt comfortable in them. They weren't so tight. They felt good.
Your father's shoes felt good, huh? Look down, boy.
Look down. My brown shoes, but I...
You were so pie-eyed you didn't even realize you hadn't changed them. Don't you see what's happened? All that applause is for you, dancing in your own shoes.
My own shoes. Max, I don't know how to thank you.
Forget it.
No, I'll never forget it. Nor what you said. Growth is the thing that matters.
It is. That's why it's the wrong ambition only to want to fill somebody else's shoes. Because sooner or later, if you grow, those shoes are going to be too small for you.
Dad's shoes too small for me. I always thought they had some special kind of magic. Max, about you and Ma.
Yeah? What about us?
Now, don't you think that the two of you have wasted enough time already? Don't you think it's about time we all grew up?
What, you little...
Well, that was really wonderful, and in just a moment I'll be back with a complete cast of actors from the theaters on Broadway, plus program and cast notes for next week's broadcast.
Now, I told you a while ago that with Pillsbury Hot Roll Mix, it's only 3 minutes from package to dough. Just add that dry yeast to water, stir in the mix, and there's your dough. Now, homemade hot rolls served up with a cool salad or a plate of cold cuts can make a wonderful meal. And you can make the hot rolls easy. Then with Pillsbury Hot Roll Mix, you can also make a homemade coffee cake and sweet rolls and a number of other things, too. Can't miss the package. Big blue and white package. Easy to spot there on your grocer's shelf. Pillsbury Hot Roll Mix. Well, this is Galen Drake, and until next week, whenever you hear a train whistle, don't forget Grand Central Station.
And now our cast. Today's Grand Central Station drama, If the Shoe Doesn't Fit, was written by Jesse Sandler and starred William Redfield as Larry, with Charles Dingle as Max Martin, Linda Watkins as Vera. Mrs. Morgan was played by Kathleen Comedges, with the tap dancing by Bob Shearer, the music by Lou White. Next week, 14 Days, a tender, heartwarming drama of the most important 2 weeks in a mother's life. The 14 days in which her boy must become a man. Our stars, Carmen Matthews, Broadway showstopper in Court in Time, Arnold Moss, Broadway star whom you will soon be seeing on the screen in Viva Zapata, and William Daniels, last on Broadway in Richard II. Until next week, this is your Grand Central Station narrator, Ken Roberts, saying goodbye, and for better baking, better buy Pillsbury, greatest name in flour. The Grand Central Station program is produced for Pillsbury Mills by Martin Horrell. Now, Cedric Adams.
How'd you do? Yes, this is Cedric Adams speaking. Pull up a rocker for an easy five. Transcribed for Pillsbury Pie Crust Mix. Ask any waitress, and she'll tell you that she can analyze your character by what you do with your cigarette ashes. This case was actually observed the other night in one of our better places. The woman customer was smoking through a long yellow holder. There were two ashtrays on the table. Her first flip of ashes went on the floor. The second she put on her plate, and the third found the same place. The fourth she put on the saucer, and believe it or not, she finished the smoke by taking the cigarette butt out of the holder, dunking it in her water glass, and then tossing the thing in her sherbet glass. The cigarette that's pressed out on a plate or a saucer is quite a problem, whether it's in a home or a public place. And any carpet expert will explode the theory that ashes are good for the rugs. They're not. Ashes are good for ashtrays, but ashtrays seem to be good for nothing. Well, take a look at your legs tonight in a mirror. Chances are they don't match. Your right leg is usually more developed than your left. Did you ever hear the origin of the term, he's in the limelight now? Well, before electricity, for a spotlight, they used a small cube of white chemical compound into which they shot a powerful gas, which made the lime light, hence the expression. Slice your cucumber with a little bit of the skin left on it, and you remove, of all things, the belch. If it works, it's wonderful. Zipper fasteners, strangely enough, have really been manufactured since way back in 1913. but the principal use for them in those days was on tobacco pouches. It wasn't until 1936 they became an adjunct to the cloak and suit business. Schiaparelli, the dress designer, unveiled a tweed sports suit with its pockets closed by zippers, and bing, the rest is history. The General Motors Research Laboratories have recently issued a bulletin that may make you put your car in the garage at night. Few factors, they say, are more damaging to the finish of an automobile than dew that's evaporated by sunshine. It's the rising sun hitting the dew-covered car that does the damage to the finish. For some unexplained reason, rainwater has nowhere near the ill effect on cars that dew has. And thawing frost, by the way, is just as bad as the evaporating dew. I guess it looks like it's into the garage from now on, then. Each of those automatic phonographs you see in taverns has to take in a minimum of $9 a week to make the jukebox worthwhile to the operator himself. You know, it's kind of fun to see that sunbeam smile come onto a man's face as he gets the first taste of really good homemade pie. The kind with a crust that just melts in your mouth. You know, the kind you make every time when you use chill-blended Pillsbury pie crust mix. Only Pillsbury makes the chill-blended kind, and it's the chill-blended kind that makes the wonderful difference in flakiness. You know how chilling adds tenderness and flakiness to your pie crust? Well, Pillsbury does that chilling for you. They worked out a special process for blending the flour and the shortening at low temperatures. And that chill-blended process cuts in the shortening more perfectly than is usually done at home. And you can easily test how cookbook perfect the shortening is cut in. Rub a pinch of Pillsbury pie crust mix in the palm of your hand. You'll feel the fine way that the shortening particles stay separate and evenly distributed. Then to make your pie, you just add water to the mix, blend, and roll out your dough. When you put the pie in the oven and the heat hits those tiny particles of shortening, they puff, bubble, and turn into the kind of crust every cook is proud to bake. A crust tender as a love song and flaky through and through. So get some of that chill-blended Pillsbury pie crust mix today, will you? Get several packages. We Americans undergo about 8 million surgical operations a year, with nearly one-third of them being tonsillectomies. Here's a little hint for defleeing your pooch. Try this. Sprinkle a half a package of dry snuff over the dog's back and then brush it thoroughly into the hide. The fleas, they tell me, drop off immediately. Try your family on this stickler. Can you give the last name of your grandmother before she was married? Well, I guess that should keep you busy over the weekend, and it winds up our 25 and 5 for Pillsbury, the greatest name in mixes. This is Cedric Adams speaking. Stay tuned now for Stars Over Hollywood, which follows immediately over most of these stations.
This is the CBS Radio Network.